B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
Oh, it's 5 o'clock. Yep, 5 o'clock hour of the Mike Missinelli Show is brought to us by Guided Door and Window. You can take advantage of a Guided Door and Window's big summer sales event for July. Receive 40% off all windows and doors. Call 877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com. So the Phillies win the game today. And I'll bet you a lot of people bet the Phillies today because Aaron Nola was pitching. And he only lasted 5 innings, 99 pitches through 5 innings. So they had to come from behind, and Nola did not nail a game down for him, but they still won. So that's a bonus.
I got to give some credit to the Phillies. That 16-2 was horrendous, just like you said, and it is telling. There was enough to fight back. They didn't just roll over. And to salvage a split is pretty good against that baseball team.
Yeah.
It's not bad. I have to give them some credit.
After the way it started, I guess the split is pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. The British Open, which is just called the Open. J.B. Holmes leads. Shane Lowry, he's an Irishman. In his home country, second, -4. Alexander Norin, -3. Webb Simpson is tied with Sergio Garcia. And a guy named Dylan Fratelli from South Africa.
Oh, Fratelli, I'm about to say, is he a countryman?
He is a countryman. You know what's funny about this? Because I had the same view. Because I saw this kid play last week. He won last week. And he's goofy. He's got these Ricky Long glasses on.
Okay.
And they Fratelli. I go, Fratelli from South Africa. That's his second Italian name from South Africa. The other one's Rory Sabatini. So I did a little research. Apparently, it was a big emigration from Italy to South Africa, Johannesburg area, in the late 19th century, early 20th century.
How about that? I didn't know that. That's interesting.
A lot of Italians in South Africa.
That is interesting. So that means you might have a chance with Charlize Theron.
There you go.
Possibility.
Grew up around a lot of Italians.
Yes, she did. All right, let's go Dominic in Abington. Dominic, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dominic.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's going on, Dominic?
Listen, man, how many times do we have to get punked by Boston? I suspect that Boston was going to get the point guard from Purdue anyway. You know, I really do. What's his name? Carson Edwards?
Carson Edwards, yeah.
I suspect Danny Ainge was going to do it anyway. But yet, you know, he did the same thing again to us with the Tatum trade, you know, back then. Mm-hmm. My thing is, this guy is a combination of Andrew Tony, AI, and Lou Williams. And it's been a while since we had some instant offense. I mean, you know, a while since we had some instant offense, even if it's just for 5 minutes in the first half, 5 minutes in the second half. And, you know, how many times in that series against Toronto did we go 5-10 minutes without scoring?
Listen, man, I agree. I thought Carson Edwards would have been a nice addition off the bench. But he's not going to be the difference between the Sixers winning and not. The Sixers are better than Boston, whether they have Carson Edwards or not. You know what I'm saying? It's not like he's AI. He's going to be a 15-minute-per-game player.
Yeah, but I think what I'm trying to say and what I believe, and I don't know if it's true, he may have knee injury, he may not, but what I'm saying, I think he has potential to be such a hot scorer for that small period of time that he can change the outcome of the game.
And yeah, he would definitely be an offensive bench spark. I'm afraid of that. But again, you know, Boston's not in the Sixers category right now.
I hear you, man, and I hope you're right. But, you know, I just got a suspicion that this thing is really going to turn out bad for us. You know, it's going to be a game next year or 2 years from now.
Well, they wanted Thibel, so they got him. So we'll just see. If Thibel turns out to be a good player, you're not even going to think about Carson Edwards anymore, are you?
All right. Don't forget, man, one of the callers called and said that trade is going to bite us a couple years from now. You know what I mean? That guy's going to come in one day, one game next year, and he's going to hit 2 or 3 3-pointers.
Yeah, he is. Then if he does it in the playoffs and eliminates the Sixers, then I'm worried about Carson Edwards. Until then, you know, I liked him. I almost discovered the kid.
No, you were first on him.
I discovered him.
You did. Nobody was up on him. But you're right. If Thibel can play, it doesn't matter what you gave up.
Exactly.
If he can play, you just got to get it right.
Yes.
And we would say the same thing about Fultz if Fultz could have played. We wouldn't have worried about Tatum.
Correct.
If Fultz was a good player.
That is correct.
He just stunk.
Yep. All right. The odds for the NFL MVP are out. Let's go through the exercise, Tyrone, before we get back to another call here. Your favorite to win the NFL MVP is?
I'm going to go Carson Wentz.
No. You're missing the obvious.
Oh, Mahomes again?
Yes. Mahomes, 6-1, and there's a three-way tie for second between
Wentz, Rodgers, and Brady?
No. Wentz, Rodgers, and Andrew Luck.
Oh, that makes sense.
Are in second place.
That makes sense.
Who is next at 12-1, your MVP?
Is it Philip Rivers?
It is not Philip Rivers.
Because I've heard a lot of buzz about him.
It is the flavor of the month.
Oh, Baker Mayfield.
That is correct. Baker Mayfield at 12-1. Then Drew Brees tied with Brady at 14-1. Philip Rivers at 20-1. Ben Roethlisberger, 25-1, along with Cam Newton, Deshaun Watson, Jimmy Garoppolo, Matt Ryan, and Russell Wilson. Jared Goff, way down on the list.
Yeah,
33-1.
And they haven't paid him. And there's now rumors that coach thinks that the offense can work with a lot of quarterbacks, and Goff's not special. So they're down on him out there for whatever reason. You know, Baker Mayfield would have been a decent bet, but now it's not good value anymore at 12-1. It's not good value.
I'm going to give you the quarterbacks that are favored to win the MVP ahead of Nick Foles.
Okay.
Let's see. Dak Prescott.
Fair.
Kyler Murray.
Unfair.
Kirk Cousins.
Fair.
Jameis Winston.
Borderline.
Mitchell Trubisky.
Fair.
Lamar Jackson.
Unfair. And I'm even saying that.
Nicky Foles coming in at 80-1.
That's a little bit of disrespect that some of those guys shouldn't be ahead. Foles is a better quarterback than some of those guys. And if Jacksonville turns it around, he'll get votes.
Let's go to Bobby in Lehigh Valley. Bobby, what's up?
Mike, what's up, man?
How you doing, Bob?
Hey, good. Hey, so I wanted to, well, real quick, first off, when it comes to basketball, I'm not the biggest basketball guy, so I can't talk much about that. But obviously, Ben Simmons, like, it's all revolving around. The dude's got to come up with this jump shot. And, you know, I don't know nothing about it. That could be that's a whole new level of a game he's got to get to, so that's that. But I wanted to talk about the Phillies, because I love baseball. Mm-hmm. Baseball is my sport. I've loved it since I was a little kid. And I think Philly's in a tough spot right now because they look at today. Boyce comes up, ties the game up. Reese comes in, knocks the two guys in, take the lead. They come out, they close it out. They think it's flipped against, which is probably one of the best teams in baseball. And a lot of guys are saying, what's even the wild card going to be about? You know, who's going to get beat by the Dodgers in the first round?
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that, you know, they're even playing them that hard and stuff, and I feel like from the point where if you see a skid like we kind of saw over the last few weeks, like then, yeah, you got to be like, okay, they're sellers, this isn't working out, things have to change. But I wouldn't count them out. I wouldn't count out that they could get hot, that the bats can wake up, that the pitching can still be decent enough.
You know, let's stop you right there. How can the pitching be decent enough? Realize how much you to be honest as possible. Like, how do you make it stand?
Don't you think if the bats wake up?
Forget the bats. You said the pitching is going to be decent enough. How?
Well, if the bats wake up, if the bats can
they're going to have to score six, like seven runs a game.
8-5, 9-4, stuff like that.
Well, yeah, but they're going to have to average seven runs a game. That's almost impossible.
Well, I know, but I don't think it's impossible. I think it's. I'd like to see.
Listen, man, I appreciate your optimism. I got to be realistic. They can't count on their ace.
No,
they couldn't even count on him today. They got 1.5 starters.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm not like arguing with you, but I just like when it comes to baseball, I love the game.
Well, I can tell you love it, and I'm glad you're optimistic. I would love to be as optimistic as you. Realism trips me. If they had three pitchers, I go, yeah. They don't have one. They have 1.5. Plus, their bullpen is so skewed. Austin Davis is coming out of it now. Some guy I never even heard of pitched today. I don't even know when they brought him up. Reyes?
Salas. Fernando Salas.
They brought him up today with Cole Irving.
He comes out of the clear blue sky.
And literally, he was in the Mexican League. at the start of the season.
I mean,
they plunked him out while they were scouting Don Brown.
Their pitching's on dying batteries, and I don't know you can sustain anything when your pitching is that bereft. I mean, you're talking about your bullpen having to pick you up almost every night because you have 1.5 starters. And the bullpen is guys like Salas. I don't know where these guys are coming. It's been like a revolving door, this bullpen. Dave in Center City, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
What is cooking, Mikey Miss?
What's going on, Dave?
Carson or Deshaun Watson will be your MVPs next year. You can take that to the bank.
Well, you can get a good price on Deshaun Watson right now. You might as well bet it.
Yeah, dude, you could have posted a better opening round score than my man Tiger did today. Him, Phil, and McIlroy look lost out there.
What did Mickelson do? He lost 15 pounds by fasting. He did. He said he fasted and he lost 15 pounds. What did he do? I didn't see him today.
It was horrible. It was a dumpster fire. I had to turn it off and put the Phillies on.
So he didn't play well, Mickelson.
They were all -6, -7, and I threw the remote control at the TV, and that was that.
Well, J.B. Holmes is leading. You got an American up there.
Yeah, he's a good shooter. MG, about 2 years ago, you laughed at me when I said, the players' union will not be able to block the league from expanding the schedule to 18 games. And I'll tell you what, not this year, but 2020 looks like we're going to have 18 games.
Yeah, but what is this thing, 18 games, but only 16, they can only play 16?
Yeah.
What is that?
I don't know the specificity.
You have to bench guys so they don't play all 18 games? Well, that's ridiculous.
No, you're going to need two starters. You're not going to need Halladay and Cliff Lee, but you'll need Halladay and Joe Blanton. You're going to need a capable backup quarterback. Mark Sanchez is not going to get it done.
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous. I really do, Dave. I can't imagine that. You can, if you're going to go to 18 games, you have to. It's going to be mandatory. The Players Association agrees. Okay, yeah, we go to 18 games, but our constituency can only play 16. Now, how do you monitor that?
Right. Well, no, you'd have to have an active list, and then if they played the first 16, they wouldn't be by rule be allowed to play. But the issue is going to be that
so you can't play your starting quarterback for two games.
Right. Or anybody else. Your starting corner can't play. Your starting safety, all of them.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
And they already said it's a non-starter for them.
Yeah.
And the NFL thinks they can just throw money at it, but the players are now concerned about safety and getting more guarantees in their current contracts. Mm-hmm. They'll have to do all of that in this deal, and then maybe in the following deal, they would do. It's going to be years and years away.
All right. I'm looking at the scores here. Spieth is -1. Let's see. What is he talking about? Patrick Reed even. Bubba Watson +1. I'm trying to see where Mickelson is. I don't see him. He must have been horrible. Still don't see him. I'm in 94th.
Well, he
Francesco Molinari, my countryman, the defending champion, is 3 over. Tied for 94th. Bryson DeChambeau. 3 over. Gary Woodland.
Ooh.
3 over.
He's tied for 128th.
Who's fair. Mickelson?
Yeah. +5. Full so he may also miss with Tiger. Miss together. They can go do something on Saturday together.
Adam Scott's +7. Rory's +8.
Yeah.
He's out of the tournament.
Rory was +4.
In his own country. Oh my God.
I wonder if his ex-fiance is somewhere laughing right now.
David Duval played today, right?
Yeah.
Because he's a former champion. You can play until you're 60 in the Open. 20 over. Well, man, it's nice and cozy on that TV set, brother. Let's go to Tom on a cell. Tom, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tom.
Mikey Miss, man. How you doing, buddy?
What's up, Tom?
Hey, listen, I got a violation question. After the game today, some 35-year-old dude with a mitt that probably is the size of Dave Parker's mitt snags a foul ball over a bunch of kids.
That's a violation.
Yeah, it's a violation.
Thank you.
Did he give the ball to the kids?
Yeah, no. He kept it for himself. No. It was like, really?
That's bad.
I'm saying there should be a rule like no dude over the age of 15 should come into that park with a glove.
I agree.
Thank you. Yeah. Second question, and this is more like with the psychology, I guess, of the locker room or mm-hmm. the clubhouse. Like, do they bring in guys like Rose? I know in Dykstra, he's out there in left field. God bless Dutch Dalton, but these other guys, like, there's something psychological maybe in the clubhouse that do you know? Because I know you got the inside track. Did they bring them in to? I mean, it was a great day today.
Bring who in? I don't know what you're talking about. Be clear. Bring what in?
Well, former players.
Former players. What about them?
The guys that gave their all, like Kroc and and Dalton, but God bless us all, and Dykstra and Rose and these kind of guys, and like
what are you asking exactly? I'm not sure what you're asking.
It just seems to me psychologically, look, we know they get the power, we know they get the bats, but it just seems to me that psychologically there's something missing with this team.
So your point is you would like the Phillies to bring back past players and have them infiltrate the clubhouse and try to have some positive effect on them?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Exactly. I didn't know what you were getting at.
I'm sorry about that, yeah.
All right. No, I don't think today's players would be motivated by past players. And baseball players are weird that way. They don't care about other guys that played in the past.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when Pete Rose walks through the clubhouse, first of all, I don't think he's loud, right? But he walks through the clubhouse. What is that supposed to do to the players? Is it going to make them hit better? Like, I don't know. It's like with the psychological effect, what does he mean by that?
Right. And Smith's around all the time now. Mm-hmm. Bo's around. If you mention this as a baseball guy, once you step in the batter's box, you're alone.
Exactly. And people don't understand this about baseball. It's like you're an individual contractor thrown in a clubhouse of false camaraderie. So it's like they've got enough to worry about without like having to seek out extra motivation by seeing a guy like Pete Rose. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But I'm Rhys Hoskins. And I see Pete Rose. I talk to him. It's nice. But that's not going to make me go, I really want to win this game because Pete stopped by.
No, and actually,
I don't think it works that way.
I would prefer if Pete stayed away from these guys because I don't need them. You know, gambling's legal in Pennsylvania now. Yeah. Let's keep them away.
Yeah, like Ryan Howard showed up. He and Rhys had a moment, like a passing of the torch moment, first base.
It was nice.
Yeah, it was nice. Sonny in Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sonny.
Mike, you know what?
What's up?
I just lost my train of thought. But you know what I was thinking? When they had the Chase Utley retirement night,
mm-hmm.
Jimmy Rollins and Ryan Howard were not there. And then they had the Jimmy Rollins retirement night, and Chase Utley and Ryan Howard weren't there, and so forth and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody, those guys weren't at Ryan Howard's retirement. I kind of feel like maybe they weren't as tight as we thought they were when they were playing together. Is there any possibility that...
Well, we actually discussed this when it came up on the air when Rollins had a chance to comment on a promo that they were honoring Utley, and he didn't say anything. Now, we read into that, we talked about it, but then somebody told me that he was actually recorded on the tribute video. Jimmy was. So, you know, I thought it was weird that he didn't say anything, and maybe they weren't as close... Yeah. You're close as baseball players, but maybe not as human beings because everybody goes their own separate way these days.
Yeah.
Could have been that. I think Ryan and Jimmy were close, though.
I got a question about the British Open.
Yes.
Going into this British Open, I know you watch golf. I watch a lot of golf.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anything about this course, and I don't think too many other players know anything about this course. I personally don't think that anyone has an advantage on this course because of the fact that nobody's seen this course since 1951. And with every different condition out there, with every gust of wind or every day that there's rain, this course is going to change dramatically from day to day.
I agree with it. It's impossible golf. The one guy who grew up on that course was Graham McDowell. He actually grew up playing
it. He doesn't even... And Rory has the course record at 61 when he was 16 years old, believe it or not.
Yes.
And he shot a what today?
He's just 8 over.
Right.
You're right. This is what the British Open, and this is like supposed to be the test of the British Open. The weather conditions can change every 15 minutes, and you know, so you, that's like the challenge part of it. But it's like down, like borderline unfair when you hit a good shot, and because of the natural terrain takes a ball that is hit well and steers it into this high fescue. To me, that's not fair. You know, it's not supposed to be a game against nature, is it? It's supposed to be you play a golf course.
Yeah, golf is different. The only nature you're supposed to play is a little wind.
Yeah.
I thought. And you're playing against the course.
Now, it's interesting to people over there that it's a different golf. Like, we grew up with a different kind of golf here. Well, American golf is tidier. You know, they cut courses out of the natural terrain because it's so much natural terrain. You know, they don't want to rebuild anything. So they just carve out a golf course. But it's like, if you've ever played it, it's fun for a while, and then it becomes unfun because it's so difficult. You know, like you're throwing away shots every time you get up there because your ball rolls somewhere. You know, like you can't get out of bunkers. Like they build these bunkers, these layered bunkers. And it's possible to get out of them. And I guess it's the challenge of golf. And if you're really skilled, you play it well.
Overall, I take the American game.
American courses look prettier, believe it or not, look prettier when they're set up. Well, maybe not. Because it's hard to beat the vistas that you're getting from this British Open. It's beautiful. Let's go to Nick in Collegeville. Nick, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Nick.
What's up, Mike? I called to talk baseball, but real quick about the British Open. I think you're right, but I think you're also a little off. I mean, about the golf. Look, mm-hmm. The Masters is manicured to the end. The U.S. Open is always more the PGA, but also the U.S. Open is manicured. But the U.S. Open, if you miss the fairway by 4.5 inches, you're in 4.5 inches, deep rough that they've been playing about the past.
Yeah, but that's...
The British Open has always been you and the wild. Like, that's just
always
what
it's
been.
And I like the varied, but I just look at this course and I go, it's unfair. It's borderline unfair. Every one of these British Open courses are borderline unfair.
But what's fair about golf is everybody plays those 18. That's what's so fair about golf.
I guess.
Now, let me ask you a question, mm-hmm. Counselor. First of all, I thought you said our Paisan was shot a 94. I'm like, oh, my God, he's 22 over? But you meant he's 94th. He's ranked 94th.
He's tied for 94th. Francesco Molinari, he's not happy either. Paisan. He didn't smile all day.
No. Mike, so the guy who called three callers ago, and he's like, oh, our bats can wake up. And so my question to you, Counselor, is if bats have been dormant the entire season for the Phillies, okay, but an MLB, there's record home, there's freaking balls getting jetted out of the atmosphere mm-hmm. all over MLB,
yep.
but our bats are dormant. So, Counselor, why are our bats going to wake up and maybe the four teams are trying to compete against their bats?
It is possible. They have hit. They just haven't all hit it at once. And the plan was that they would all hit at once. So if they get on, it's possible they get on a streak where they all hit at once and they all find a flow. But it's still the pressure now to score that many runs to overcome your lack of pitching is just too much pressure from day to day that you can actually do that. I mean, that's just the way I see it. Yeah, Molinari, man, come on. Come on, brother. Kill me. That's a no good.
Has he recovered from the Masters?
Ah, phenomenal with this course.
Sure, that's exactly what he said.
I hear good. It's a road to a bunker. My son and my bitch. All right, come on. Let's go. I'm sorry about that. All right, coming up down the home stretch right here in the Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Seven, five, The Fanatic.
5:32, Mike Mussinelli Show. Time for our final Twitter poll numbers. And Joel Embiid, I predict, is going to win. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sunday's Twitter numbers. Intentional landscapers, you're looking to repower a zero turn or a walk down mower. Moyer has the best sales rounds for an engine replacement in stock. Visit paulbmoyer.com for details. Miss Natalie Eganoff.
Today's poll, Mike, had over 1,700 votes on it. Who is the most intriguing Philadelphia athlete? 27% say Carson Wentz, 11% say Bryce Harper, 46% say Joel Embiid, and 16% say Ben Simmons. Wow. So
Ben got swamped.
He did. Wentz came in second behind Embiid, and Harper's last.
You know how much I know. Somebody just sent me a picture of Val Kilmer. The way he looks now, he's going to be in this new Top Gun. He didn't age as well as Tom Cruise.
Not nearly
Cruise,
as well.
Cruise can still pull off, Matt.
Yeah, I got to admit, he looks, he's aged well.
Val Kilmer has had a harder life, looks like.
Something was wrong when he bought 2,000 acres in the middle of nowhere in Arizona. Why do you need to live way out there?
He wants to be isolated.
Yeah, but, you know, a little peer pressure goes a long way when you're in Hollywood.
Well, he looks like he lost a lot of weight for the role, but he just looks aged. Anyway, Tyrone is lobbying for the reappearance of Sundown as a little more macho of a character.
Yes.
Like Sundown being behind Mav going, "Hey, old man, that's Mig. Shoot them."
Yes.
Right? Something like that.
Yes. Keep it real.
Yo, that's Mig. All right, let's go. Jay in Robbinsville. Jay, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jay.
Hey, what's going on, Mikey?
What's going on, Jay?
How you guys doing?
What's going on, Ben?
All right, yeah, man. Again, what a win today! Like the bats are, the bats have not woken up. The bats are definitely showing some heart. Like I said, I called yesterday about that the other night. But what to me is kind of showing is they're shying saying that part. Another caller earlier said, "Oh, the pitching can be good enough." No, they can't. Pitching sucks. We know that.
Yeah,
they got to make some moves. But to me, it's kind of saying that the offense is kind of saying, "Look, we haven't quit on the season." I'm saying they're there, but they haven't quit. So I'm kind of see like the front office show a little heart. Say, okay, maybe. Give him a piece or two, see what happens. Go out, get Robbie Ray, throw a left-handed starter, a little piece in the bullpen. Because what you have now, you're just not going to get it done. I think no one can deny that.
Yeah, I don't know if you can get a good enough pitcher without giving. You don't have any. Like, if your farm system was chock full of prospects, I go, yeah. I mean, I count three, and one's got to start for him next year.
Which one is that?
Bohm has to be their starting third baseman next year, right?
Okay, but if there is. If you can put a package together with whatever prospects we can throw together to get Robbie, and they're willing to take Robbie Ray, to me, they're just prospects. So, yeah, outside of Grom.
Yeah, but the two guys that you have are pitchers. You haven't homegrown a pitcher in a really long time. Both these guys, like, you already gave up Sixto Sanchez. Do you want to give up one of these two?
Well, you have homegrown Nola. Now, granted, today wasn't his best performance, but he's homegrown.
That's it. Before that you got to go to Cole Hamels.
That is true, but I mean, like I said, just me, the offense kind of showing, especially Harper. I'm liking him, just with the firing for the dugout. Mm-hmm.
They came going. Back there. It was a good comeback for him. They were down 5-3. They had a good seventh inning.
So I like to see McPhail. We hear him once every year, twice a year. Mm-hmm. Maybe him come out now and say, "Hey, these guys are showing me a little something." Yeah. We're not quitting. We're not quitting either. We're going to make a move or two.
It'll make it more interesting. I still don't know that they can make a significant enough move or two to get it done. That's my whole thing about it. Now, in the seventh inning, they were aided by, I don't know who this guy Ferguson is, but he opened the inning by hitting Haseley.
Knew he couldn't get him out.
And then he walked Roman Quinn. That's got to be like a fine. Like, you should be fined for walking Roman Quinn. Oh, see, I'm the manager. I go, listen, dude, I got to take some money out of your paycheck.
He clearly
walk with Roman Quinn.
Couldn't find his zone. He didn't walk him on purpose.
Oh, God. That's going to Huntington Valley. Heavy, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Heavy.
Yo, what's up, Mike?
What's going on, man?
Yo, none. I wanted to talk Phillies, but you guys are talking British Open. Got me thinking about it. And I just wanted to say that I respect your take, but your take's a little off.
On what?
On the courses over there. I mean, those are honestly some of the easiest courses around. And the only way that people struggle is if the weather's bad. But if you look at all the past winners last 5-10 years, I mean, Henrik Stenson shot 20 under just a couple of years ago.
Mm. All right. Well, I've played them, and I can tell you that they're when you hit a good shot, you're punished a lot of times for hitting a good shot. That's still not the way golf should be.
Well, I mean, I've been over there too. I know. Mm-hmm. I know.
Have you played Carnoustie?
I have. Yeah.
All right. Now, tell me, Carnoustie is easy.
That's the toughest one of them. But of the nine other courses in the rotation, they're all pretty. I mean, St. Andrews. That's one of the easiest courses.
St. Andrews looks easy until a potbelly bunker pops up out of nowhere, and you hit a good shot, and it rolls in.
You're talking about 99% of the of those shots that go in there are bad shots.
All right, well, you see it a little differently.
If you hit good shots, you'll play well.
Mm-hmm.
If you hit bad shots, you won't play well. Like if you saw Tiger today, he did not play well. He hit some of the worst shots of the day. He's six spots out of DFL. Right.
Okay, what's your Phillies point, bro?
I just wanted to say, I mean, I don't think they're in the position to be making moves at the deadline. And who are they even going to trade? What value? What are they going
to
get rid of?
I agree with you. I don't think they have much to trade.
I just wanted to get a Top Gun take in there.
Oh, okay.
You know what Sundown's other notable role is?
No. Well, he was in another movie?
Tell me you've seen Die Hard.
He was in Die Hard?
He's the hacker nerd that hacks into the bank.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Sundown? That's a good pull by you, Heavy. That's a really good pull. The hacker nerd is Sundown.
Well, he got the nerd part right.
Oh, no, Inge, we have time for him?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Go ahead, Inge, close out the show, brother. It's all you.
Look, I'll make this real easy regarding
right
Ben. Ben Simmons, you're looking at Ben Simmons from this whole Kardashian point of view, and that's the long way to look at it. This is very simple. He's a bigger Rajon Rondo. Can the Sixers win a championship with Rajon Rondo running the point? That's all you have to think about.
Yeah, that's stupid comment.
The Eagles team... Eagles are identical.
If you don't think Ben Simmons does more than Rajon Rondo, I know, but
I'm saying the bottom line. See, you're looking at it from all the peripheral stuff. But look, this is the point I'm trying to make. People are down on the Phillies, but the Phillies are exactly in the same position as the Sixers were last year. And then the Eagles coming up, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen with the Eagles. They're going to be in the same position as the Sixers from last year, as well as the Phillies this current year. What's going to happen? They get all three teams. I'm just going to focus on two because you have a vacuum. I can predict that the Patriots will never win another Super Bowl. And then in basketball, you have a vacuum where you have LeBron and the Golden State Warriors are going to disappear. So you have two teams here in this city, the Sixers and the Eagles, that can pretty much dominate. They can win a couple more championships. And the question you have to ask, forget about the intriguing athlete, compelling athlete, who's going to be that championship athlete? Who's going to dominate?
Who do you think it is?
I mean, it's really hard, but I got to go with the coach, believe it or not.
You got to go with who?
I'm going with the Eagles coach, Doug Peterson.
The Eagles coach?
I trust Doug Peterson more than Embiid, Simmons.
We're talking about athletes. Where you come up with a coach?
If
it was an athlete, who do you trust? Who do you trust as a player? Who do you trust that will take you to the
championship? Nicky Foles.
See, this is why I eat popcorn during his call.
Why does he do that?
Because ultimately, it comes down to him not making sense.
He has a premise.
I didn't want to wait till the break to eat popcorn.
But you helped him. He had a premise. You helped him. You said, okay, name the athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And he responds with Doug Peterson and a player who's not in the town anymore.
You never know when the wires are going to cross. Oh, my man. Coming up, it's Sound Off right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number five will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today. Brought to you by the Minimally Invasive Spine Institute at Rothman Orthopedics. Minimally invasive, maximally effective. RothmanSpine.com. Let's keep going.
Sound off. Oh, it's time for sound off. By the way, Val Kilmer, the people were telling me, had throat cancer. So, well, for the last couple of years. He's overcome throat cancer. So, I apologize for saying he looked older. I'm sure that affected it.
Yeah, no, I was talking about just the weight gain before he ever had any cancer.
Yeah. All right, so sound off is 610-771-9705. Let's see what we got today.
These people that say they're Phillies fans, they got to believe. So what? They had a lousy game the one night where they got their butts kicked. They came back. Harper's the star of the show. I mean, come on. If you're a fan, show your faith. Show your faith and stay behind them. It's early yet.
Yeah, it's not early. And you got to be realistic. See, you can't. The problem is you can't believe in an organization that doesn't give you what you're supposed to have. And that's my beef about this whole thing. It's not like they didn't know what they lacked. Or they were in denial about it. And so it comes back to roost on them. I mean, they should have provided a playoff path for their fan base. And they didn't because they were delinquent on pitching.
For the guy that called earlier, they said he was the guy that got arrested for running on the field. If you're a grown man and you're doing that, and you're a grown man with a wife and children, you should be ashamed of yourself. If I'm that person's family, I'm embarrassed that he did that.
Apparently not. Apparently it's a good family memory, so whatever.
See, the problem with these jabrones that jump onto the field slide when the tarp is, it's so unoriginal. Everyone's done it. It's not edgy. You know, if you want to impress me, you want to do something cool and unique, why don't you zip line your bum down to the field? That would be kind of cool.
Yeah, well, it's easier to do the other thing.
Now, you know, Mike, there's people on social media jumping on Natalie and I for having the gall to say that people should stay off the field. Oh, you guys, you're crazy. It's no big deal.
Someone said you're virtue signaling. Security's doing a fine job. But no one knows that he wasn't a maniac.
You don't know that when he enters the field. You don't know these people. It's 40,000 people in the stadium. There's probably one maniac out of that 40,000. And if that one maniac gets on the field, something bad could happen. This isn't hard.
You got to have rules and regulations, because if you didn't, then people would do it all the time and it would be mayhem. So you just don't do it. It's just not a cool thing to do.
I've been watching Bryce Harper after hearing his split, you know, with runners on base and without. I think it's pretty simple. I think his timing is just off with pitchers from the stretch. You know, from the windup, he can dial in right when they lift the leg. But the windup, the timing can get thrown off.
Well, I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe a film analysis would confirm something like that. But it really should not make a difference. I mean, the pitch, you have to look at where a guy is releasing a baseball, whether he's in a stretch or in a windup.
Thinking about Carson Wentz and the question, if he never wins a Super Bowl, is he successful? And I know that a lot of people are rooting for him to win a Super Bowl because Donovan McNabb never did. I feel like most people are just rooting for Carson because they want him to get one over McNabb.
No.
What?
They're rooting for him to win a Super Bowl because the Super Bowl is good. You know, it has nothing to do with McNabb. I mean, they won another Super Bowl. They would like to see Carson Wentz, he's the franchise quarterback, deliver a Super Bowl. As simple as that. We don't have to, you know, go into the McNabb area.
All the articles keep saying is the show of brotherly love. One kid hands a foul ball to another kid, Mike. That's
nice.
What we are down to. That's the highlight of the 2019 Philadelphia Phillies.
Come on, man. They won today. Came back and they won. They beat the Dodgers. They split with the Dodgers. You know, 16-2 was a disaster. I'm going to tell you, it's going to take a long time for me to get over the, what I saw in that game. But at least they salvaged the split.
This Bryce Harper dude. Does he have to come to the ballpark with a new piece of apparatus on his body every game? Or, you know, he's just not going to feel like playing unless he has something new on.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
He wore a bandana under his hat because it's been hot. He's been sweating heavy. And to take care of his hair, it was a Fanatic bandana today. And I guess he's offended by it.
Yeah, well, you care what these guys wear, you know?
He also knocked in a couple runs.
This is an age where guys wear stuff. They wear armor on the elbow and the forearm and the inner shin. And, you know, it is what it is. They use those. Everybody has that thumb thing now.
Yeah, they all wear that.
Yeah, they wear the oven mitt now when they're on base. Yeah, you get used to it. Buzz down, bro.
That's the best of the best today of Sound. Brought to you by the Minimally Invasive Spine Institute at Rothman Orthopedics. Minimally invasive, maximally effective. RothmanSpine.com.
Got a beef?
I don't like them.
What are the limits?
Because I don't like
them. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your sound off gets on.
See you later.
All right, that was Sound Off. Stay tuned for the Fanatic Baseball Show. Andrew Salchunas. So we erroneously gave you that information yesterday because it was the Cousins show yesterday. But the Fanatic Baseball Show today on NBC Sports Philadelphia. Stay tuned for a quick slants. Have a great night, everybody. We will talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.